We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What are your expectations for your baseball team this season?
Make it to the playoffs, and we make it to the playoffs, we win the World Series. That's the way we're attacking this whole season. Obviously, the people outside our world don't feel that way, but, you know, like Casas, I think that there was an article that, you know, we were talking about what we did in the offseason, the things that we want to be better at, and what we have to do to make it to October. You know, if you're not laughing, our expectations, then we're setting the bar low. That's what we're talking about.
Alex Cora. I don't know if he's really feeling a World Series and the positive vibes, and they only go so far, but he's certainly perpetuating them with the media throughout spring training, and the Red Sox did have a good spring training. Also earlier today with us here on Jones and Mega with Arquette on WEEI. As I've been telling you, if you missed any of that, it's on the Odyssey app. Use the rewind feature. You can go back and listen to Alex Cora in full. It's like a good 15 minutes discussing his baseball team, which players on the team would eat other players, aquariums. I mean, there's a lot in there.
Ironically, Tristan Casas, not allowed at the aquarium anymore.
It's true. He's talking about eating people. Risky. They're like, we can't have you near these animals.
Doesn't Casas seem like the kind of guy who like jumps in the fountain at the mall?
Yes.
And gets arrested.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
Or who would eat a dolphin?
Yeah, he's already barefoot. He's already barefoot. This is part of why I'm out on J.J. McCarthy. It's like all the barefoot grounding stuff that, like, Casas does. McCarthy does all that, too. But now it's your quarterback. Like a weirdo out-to-lunch baseball player, that can work. I acknowledge that.
I do want the two.
He's muscular, and I'm sure his tendons and his ligaments taste good.
Ew. I do want them to get, like, a loft apartment in Boston together, though. The two of them.
Him and Duran.
Barefoot bros.
Oh, him and McCarthy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's like the cartoon with two people on a raft where the other one starts looking like a hamburger. You can't do that.
That's just him all the time.
Kramer the turkey, like waving at him.
Exactly.
You know that apartment would smell like patchouli oil, too.
It's true. But McCarthy.
They talk each other into dreads.
McCarthy and Casas, they would be good roommates. So it's hour number three, Jones and Mego with RK. We're going to talk to Brian Scalabrine. Coming up about a half an hour from now at 4:30, we talk to him each and every Wednesday. Get some Celtics thoughts in with all of your, and we've ticked through it, Bruins and Patriots thoughts as well. But are you buying the optimism as it relates to the Red Sox? And I'll just read this tweet again. We've read it a couple of times today. This is Buster Olney. This morning, after the Red Sox struck out on Jordan Montgomery last night, and I say struck out, I mean, were they really in? Were they really interested? Probably not.
Can't strike out if you don't take the at-bat.
Right, but if Montgomery is now officially not coming to Boston, here's what he tweeted out today. The Red Sox had a great camp. Great. Devers looks poised for a monster season. He has had a big spring training. Trevor Story has emerged as a leader, which Mego and I both scoffed at a little bit, but Arcan's right. He's also had a good spring.
I didn't scoff. I just opened a soda and it made that sound.
That's true. That was what that was. Casas and Duran are set to build on last year.
His ligaments taste good.
It's true. The two of them being back-to-back in that tweet is interesting, to say the least.
Duran's like, I need at least three people between us in the batting order.
But, like, build on last year. Casas, I get. I mean, Duran had just such a weird year. I was buying in on Jaron Duran last year. It was a weird year. But, okay, fine, build on it. The biggest question is about pitching depth. This is the same thing Cora cited to us, and it's obvious when you look at the team. That's why it's surprising they didn't land Jordan Montgomery. So he kind of undercuts everything he says at the beginning, but he's talking about some of the optimism. And it leads us to our big question of the day up now, at Jones and Mego on Twitter. With this Red Sox team, are you buying into the internal optimism coming out of spring training? Or do you believe in the poor predictions from the outside? Meaning, I don't know, roster projections, power rankings, the over-under win total has gone from 79.5 down to 77.5, which means people nationally really don't believe in this team, at least the betting public, / Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. So how'd you vote, Mego? Are you buying in on the optimism?
I'm sorry to say I'm not. I do believe that your defense has gotten a little better, but you were terrible last year. I do believe your offense could be maybe better. Turner's out. Maybe Story will look more like himself now that he's healthy again. And I just think it comes down to your starting rotation. And if you go through them, it really, like, as we sit here today, based on last year and previous years, if you go through your starting rotation, Bayo, honestly, average. Like, overall, I know he has had some great outings, and he's young, and he's developmental. Average.
No, there's upside, but his actual production is average. Correct. 100%.
Pivetta, very good, but was going back and forth between the bullpen and the rotation last year, so he hasn't had a home yet. Crawford, very good. Like, I feel good about that. He's not an ace, but he has good production. And then Hauk is below average, and Whitlock is literally, like, exactly average, except he belongs in the bullpen, because when you put him in the starting rotation, he gets hurt every freaking season.
He breaks down.
That's why you got him from the Yankees. Like, I don't understand why you look at that. You go, okay, well, Whitlock's not going to get hurt, and we're going to keep Pivetta in the rotation, and Bayo's going to develop really well this year, and he's actually going to be an ace.
That's, like, that's baby Pedro.
We're just talking about the rotation, and there's so many things that you have to – so many different factors that you have to look at and count on going right, and that's just the rotation. I kind of feel that way with the entire team. It's like you have so little margin for error. Yes, if everything goes right, you could be a playoff team. You could do really well in your division. Some of these other teams might fall off. We see it happen. Yeah, there's a chance. But if I'm being realistic, I'm saying you have not set yourself up for success.
No, and I think Cora agrees. Like, I mean, he has to say... he didn't have to say they're going to win a World Series. He did not have to go there. But he's done that. Did he do that last year, Arcan? Did he do it the year prior? He's definitely done it recently, and they finished in last place. He's talked about World Series aspirations, and we're going to win the World Series. And he didn't have to go that far. He can say we're going to exceed expectations. We're going to surprise people. We're going to be a playoff team even. I think that would be an acceptable line. World Series feels a bit much. And I think he just knows, look, I'm in the last year of my contract. I'm going to play this out. And if we stink, I'm fired, and I'll have options elsewhere. I think that's part of why you get that approach from him. I'm not buying the optimism as much as I want to, Arcan. I know you're optimistic based on how they played this spring.
Yeah, and the spring, I think, is something you can withdraw a little bit from. But even still, like, if we're talking about optimism in the face of these Vegas odds that just came out that have them now drop from 79 to 77, and by the way, the most bet under out of all the baseball futures, I think, on BetMGM, which is the tweet that I put in the Slack.
It's the tweet, right, that dropped off the most.
The teat.
I mean, when those are dropping off, you know you're in trouble.
Absolutely.
Time to go find a surgeon.
Gravity takes its toll.
It certainly does.
But it's the win total, rather.
Yeah, and
that
I think
has dropped off the most.
That if that's what we're talking about, then I am optimistic, because I think that this team can at the very least be a 500 team, and maybe even a little bit better than that. I don't know that they're a playoff team, but I think that they're closer to that than they are to 70 wins or 65 wins or some of these projections that I'm seeing now about them just not being able to even get off the ground this year and being one of the worst teams in baseball. They're not going to be worse than Oakland. I don't think they'll be worse than Anaheim. I know Kansas City did some things this year. I think they'll be better than the Royals. Like, there's some talent on this team, and they have had a good spring, and their key players are producing so far. You're right, Mego. The starting rotation is very, very rickety right now.
It's blah.
But it was rickety last year. You had Chris Sale and James Paxton in the back end of it, and those guys only gave you about 100 innings.
Yeah, and
Corey Kluber barely ever pitched. They were competing until August. They were one game out of the wild card in August last year. I'll take that this year.
They quit after the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So,
but they were competing with that rotation.
No,
I mean, they were.
I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. They were in the mix, and then they quit. So I think they'll probably quit again if they're in the mix and they don't do anything, or they
very
just,
possible.
You know, so like I would just side on that, but I do put stock in spring training results. I do. And I don't want to ignore that they had a winning record in spring training. And the first time this was on my radar was 2018 and 2019. You could tell in 2019 that team wasn't the same. You could tell it in spring training. They sucked in spring training that year. And they came out and they missed the postseason. And since then, outside of 2022, they've largely followed. If they have a winning record in the spring, they're a playoff team. They had a good spring in 2021. They went to the ALCS. They had a bad spring last year. They were a last place team. So they've had a good spring this year. Maybe they're going to surprise some people. I just can't look past the roster, all the preseason prognostications, just the general feeling among the fan base about this team, which I think they largely have it right. Fans aren't always right. I think in this case, they're right. I can't look past all that because they had a good spring. Maybe I'm going against my own rules. I need to see them start well out West. But if they start well out West, 3 out of 4 against Seattle, you know, you blow out the A's, and now you know you're talking like you're 5-2, you're 6-1, something like that. could I be coaxed into, and will I jump on board the bandwagon? Yeah, I'll jump on early because I buy into their good play, their strong play in spring training.
Okay, so you think that it's not correlation between spring training. I'm going to talk in some statistics language. It's not correlation between the spring training.
I think it can be.
And the regular season, it's causation.
No, I think it can be. I think
it's actually indicative of what
it can carry over.
Like the momentum is going to carry through from Seattle to the Angels series to the A's to coming back out here at home.
It can.
To their empty ballpark.
You don't think
it's April and fans don't want to travel?
You don't think I can carry over?
No.
You think that's impossible?
It's such
it can't
a long
happen.
Season. As Arcan said, like there was a point where they were competing and they were getting close to being 10 games over 500, and then they just fell off.
Here's what a good start would give them. And now I'm really talking myself into glass half full positivity.
Who you are. I feel like we've swapped personalities.
Okay, but here's
C-Med Jones.
Here's what a good start brings you potentially is it puts pressure on ownership to do something at the deadline. They did not last year. But it does at least bring that into play. I think that's why they quit last year, because ownership did nothing.
Yeah.
But I think it brings it into play. The stronger your start, the better you are, the more in the mix you are, the more it puts pressure on ownership to do something. If you start poorly, then I think it'll definitely go the other way. Your manager's not under contract. All the players kind of know, we kind of suck. If they start poorly, they're dead.
Yeah. Start poorly, you're selling the Fenway experience for the rest of the year.
If you start poorly, they won't come.
If they start strong... Maybe I'm overreacting, but I will overreact and buy in. I'm just telling you, if they start good out west, I'll buy in.
Okay, I'm getting ready. It's going to take more for me to buy in, because even if they start strong and they're playing well, I still don't know if it fits into ownership's plan this season to invest at the trade deadline.
Look, their plan is probably not to do that. But how many years in a row when you're in the mix can you not do that? And the beating they took last year...
We sat here and went, how do you not really add to the rotation? I mean, look, they add Giolito, and he got injured very early on, and they didn't do anything.
So, look, it's fair. It's a completely fair counter. But at some point, they're not going to – we all believe at some point they're not going to keep doing this, right? The valuation of the franchise keeps going up.
I don't know.
It might not be this year. Never again. They're never going to
– as long as John Henry is the one pulling the purse strings, no chance.
Fenway Corner,
I think it's foolish to believe that they would do anything.
Okay, but he's done this back and forth dance so many different times as owner of the Red Sox.
This feels so different.
Is as bad as it's been, I agree. But he's gone through years of austerity and years of not spending and then turned around and reinvested in the team. He's done it. And so, look, you're shaking your head at me. It's why Theo walked away after his Bridgier comment and everything. It's why they counterbalanced that by correcting their payroll and then turning around and being splashy and spending.
Yeah.
You use that big word, austerity. It just made me think of Lucille Austero.
I'm positive I read that word earlier today. I'm positive that's why it's in my head. But yes,
it's
is
a
like
good a word, but
Lucille Austero.
Lucille
word of the
too.
Day calendar. One of those.
No. It was like a Gammon's tweet or so. Somebody
Let
had
me
that tweet.
Circumvent you.
Was that Gammon's who tweeted that? I think it was Gammon's.
I think that was Job. But yes.
Shut up, science bitch.
It seems like... If you get off to a good start, then at the very least, there's going to be buzz. You know, like if you get off to a good start, there will be buzz for the team. This is the time of year where the buzz begins. Like, you know, like I think that there's something to that.
Look, me buying in on Henry ever spending again, maybe that's dumb. I do believe in starting with some momentum and being able to carry that over. That I believe in. And they might take it right out of spring training. I think that's possible. I'm not ready to wager on it, but give me a week. I might be. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your feedback coming up. We have Brian Scalabrine of NBC Sports Boston. We'll get his thoughts on where the Celtics are at, coming off a blown 30-point lead the other night against the Atlanta Hawks. That's right after Trending with Arcan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Talk. Rock in perfect harmony.
Why you punish me?
This is Jones and Mego. WEEI.
Why would I be concerned about a team that's won 20 out of 23 games? Like, what's to be concerned about? Yeah, if anything, this is a wake-up call. This is like, all right, look, we got so many games left. We got slapped in the face. It's a tough pill to swallow. Let's get our mind back right. Let's understand the process. Let's not get bored with the process. There's a process to winning a championship, and you got to get through the regular season. They look bored. They smacking teams left and right, Skip. They're on pace to make history, to be one of the teams that's with their margin of victory now is probably about 11, 12. I mean, they're bored. But to me, my message is to them, don't get bored with the process. Finish out the season strong going into the playoffs. But my level of concern is minimum.
We'll get to Paul Pierce, his level of concern, minimum.
These Celtics are very lucky that everyone from the Patriots decided to be down in Orlando and talking a lot.
No, it's true. It's true. We had a lot of Celtics stuff scheduled for yesterday, and then Kraft just kind of kicked the doors open. And so we'll get to the Celtics, Paul Pierce's comments. We'll talk to Brian Scalabrine less than 10 minutes from now for our weekly chat at 4:30. One text here, 37937. Everybody knows the number. Jones, you said the same thing last spring. How'd it turn out?
About spring training and success.
Here's when I said it. Because didn't they start? They started awesome last spring training, and then they fell apart at the end. And it turns out they were a 500 team last spring training, and they were basically a 500 team in season. So it turned out accurate. I think it makes sense to pay attention to spring training results. I'm not going to bank on a last place team that somehow got worse and spent no money. Like that's where I'll draw the line at paying attention to these spring training results. Unless they look good on that West Coast trip, I'll buy in very quick and I'll say, Arcan, you had the conviction of staying consistent and looking at the spring training results. I didn't. I was afraid to go there. Arcan was right. I was wrong.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And I mean, we'll see what happens.
If they start hot.
We'll see what happens. I think that, you know, this is an opportunity for them to do that. You got two really bad teams you're playing here in these first 10 games. Seattle's good. You might have a hard time with Seattle. You know, they got a good rotation. They're a strong team, certainly compared to you. But you're better than the Angels. You're better than the A's. Like, you could come out of this with a winning record at the very least. You know, you could come out of this 7-3, I think.
Ryan just said they in my ear. I don't think I was on the air. They went 15-13 last April. So they started okay. To your point, Arcan, they were in the mix until after the trade deadline.
Yep.
And then it fell apart. And it has.
Because all the other fans of the other teams started doing parades.
Well, there's that. I mean, there's that. The fans all checked out. The players all checked out. When ownership did nothing at the deadline, everybody checked out. And then they fired Bloom like a couple of weeks later. They tried to scapegoat him. It didn't work. So there's big time potential for this team to check out. You go 1-3 against Seattle, they could all check out right there and be like, we knew we were going to suck. Cora's a lame duck manager. We didn't spend. The kids are coming up anyway to take all our jobs.
Like,
I'm checking out.
Cassis is drooling, looking at me. Feel weird.
He's putting salt and pepper on me.
I mean, there's also that. 617-779-7937. On the Celtics, and again, I want to ask Gal about this. Is it acceptable to say what Paul Pierce said? They're bored. Is that acceptable for explaining away their loss the other night against Atlanta, 30-point lead, without Trae Young? Nearly blowing a giant lead last week, I think last Wednesday, against the Bucks without Giannis. They did this earlier in the year against Cleveland, up 22. No Donovan Mitchell. They lost Evan Mobley in game. Is it fair to just explain away these rare losses? And in the case of the Celtics, they are rare.
Mm-hmm.
As, well, they're just getting bored with the regular season and let's start the playoffs already.
I think it's the reason. Like, I do. I don't think that there's some fatal flaws within this team's game that you can point to and say, like, oh, this is what's really going to come up to haunt them once the playoffs start. I think it's the reason that they're just bored. They check out. They especially go into these matchups where the other team is missing their star player or a star player or more than one star player, and they think, oh, we're just going to coast through this. They get started hot, and then they basically just take the rest of the night off and think that they can salvage themselves in the fourth quarter in the final seconds in time.
The Lakers game was another example of that. Wasn't a blown lead, like, but that was just, hey, the stars aren't playing. We can just coast, and they found out they can't.
There's been a couple of these situations. So I accept it as an explanation. At the same time, I just absolutely expect more. Like, I do think that this team is a lot better than last year's team. I think the it's like nothing outrageous to say that Porzingis and Drew Holiday being in there makes a really big difference in this team. But I would like them to, like, pride is not the right word. I would just like them to keep a standard. And maybe that's just impossible to ask. Well, maybe without having KG on your team, there's not a personality there who is so bullying towards you keeping that standard of, like, don't take the freaking night off. Yeah, we're sitting two guys. They're missing someone. Get out there and freaking hustle. And, like, we'll get to the playoffs when we get to the playoffs. But just put it out there tonight. Like, I think that there is still some element that's missing a little bit. I just don't think that's going to be a factor in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to get bored in the playoffs.
Okay, you don't think so, but can they get into bad habits?
Yes.
So it can carry over to the postseason? Sure.
And that's what happened in those games you just mentioned, by the way. You know,
I mean, 100%.
They missed all their threes the other night in the Milwaukee game. It was the game where Tatum didn't score in the third quarter. Like, there's a lot of these bad habits that still pop up. Most nights they can overcome them, but some nights they can't. And when that starts reoccurring in the playoffs, you only get so many chances.
No, so this is why, and I've been saying this since the preseason, and I started saying it again in the last couple of weeks because they were on pace to do it. Just about. And look, they're just so much better than the rest of the league. You gotta give them little measuring sticks and things to keep their focus. I think surpassing the 07-08 Celtics is a realistic goal, or at least matching the 07-08 Celtics. And that's in scoring margin. Pierce referenced that. You know, they're among the best scoring differential teams in the history of basketball, and the teams that are in the rarefied air they're in, like outscoring their opponents by like 11 a night, 11 and change. All those teams have won a title. So there's that. There's also that win total. We all know it. Living here in Boston, 66 wins right out of the chute. We got Garnett. We got Ray Allen. We still have Paul Pierce. 66 wins. Best team in the league going away. I think giving yourself something like that to chase was important for this team because I didn't want them to get bored. I didn't want them to get out to a big lead, take some nights off, get in bad habits, because I think it's really hard to flip that switch back. Once you're somewhat checked out, and once you get into those bad habits, it's really good to really difficult, rather, to get back out of it, I think, which is why I've been talking about the 66 wins all year.
Yeah, the only kind of, like, I don't know, bad habits that I'm looking at that make me a little worried, I don't want to pick on the guy, but I think a lot of it has to do with Jason Tatum. Like, one of the things that I want to ask Gal about in a couple minutes when he joins us is how sticky it gets at the end of these games sometimes with the pace. I mean, the pace slows to a crawl. And it's like, you know, I know Forsberg is out there counting dribbles and everything from the Jays. And that's a kind of ridiculous, but it's also a real thing. Like, it is a real thing. The ball sticks and it's
19 dribbles against
falls apart.
That was the Cavs. 23 dribbles by Jalen the other night against the Hawks. Like,
can we have a dribble countdown screen in the
yeah, can we, yeah, can we add that? Can we split screen this thing? So, no, but I think that's representative of their crappy pace, 100%. It is.
Sounds like the clips we get from Celtics practice.
It does.
Jason doing judo in the background.
What we expect from Jalen and Jason, it's always been consistent.
Jason Tatum talking about failing people's parlays.
Yeah.
Letting down their parlays. You just hear the dribbling in the background. That's
real
what
quick,
it is.
Mego, you just said something that I totally agree with, which is that, you know, there's no standard. I feel like there's no standard. They're a good team, sure. But do you see Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown really, really bothered by these losses? Do you see them after the game, like,
no,
really,
poor Zingas,
like, tortured
poor Zingas
by these
after
games?
Every loss is like, oh, yeah, we needed one of these.
Yeah,
like,
no, so what? Thank goodness we lost this game. Yeah. Like, we were really
poor
getting
Zingas
complacent.
Poor Zingas
might
be just, like, a secret freak.
Yeah, but none of them, like, you don't see it with any of them. You don't see any of them. And
that
you
one
don't,
hurt. I
they,
like it.
They don't all have to be Kevin Garnett, obviously, who's, you know, a lunatic. But could you at least show, like, even in the NBA Finals, and in the playoffs, in the Eastern Conference Finals, after these series, you don't see. I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm old and I don't see it. But, like, it doesn't seem like it really eats them up in the way it would other competitors.
Wait, why are
you
too old to see it?
Because I don't know. The younger generation of athletes are different than my day.
We're
but you know, like,
we're old compared to athletes.
Yeah.
No, I'm asking Arkan though.
And
like,
I'm saying
do you
us
become,
too, not you so much. But
you,
yeah,
I'm right. So young to become too old to, like, see athlete emotion. I think that they probably just. Are you saying that it's more of a different generation that athletes would, like, rage out after a game?
not even so much rage out, but just
throwing chairs and stuff.
Emotion, some kind of emotion. And Marcus Smart, you know, he had some of that, but he wasn't one of your stars. You know, your stars, I feel like, don't have that edge. They don't have that emotion. I guess that's what it looks like.
I think it's just because Arcan's an emotional guy.
I am an emotional guy.
The Twitch chat knows. 617-779.
Big talk from the girls up all night after Marcus Smart got traded. Couldn't sleep, tossing and turning. But I'm emotional.
I was having indigestion.
Rocking back and forth. Talking to the corner of her room. 617-779-7937. We'll get back into your phone calls. We have Triple Play.
I like how you make it sound like I only have a room in home.
You know, just rocking back and forth in your
this is my realm.
Your rocking room. We'll get to Triple Play at 4:45. But joining us here on the Harbor One Hotline is Brian Scalabrini of NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Scal, how we doing?
Good. You guys?
How many rooms you got in the house? A lot of rooms to rock back and forth and just kind of, you know, when you're really worried about like maybe a bad loss or a trade you don't like, you got plenty of room to rock back and forth and freak out like Mego?
I got a sauna, so I go in there.
Wow, you're a sauna guy? Cool. Wait, you're a sauna guy in the house?
You can't be there forever. You only can be there for about 45 minutes max.
45 minutes?
Yeah, I think that's too long. Is that safe?
Oh my God,
you can do 45 minutes in there?
You're going to dehydrate.
You can bring your own water in, Mego, and you can always go outside and, you know, spray yourself down with a water hose or jump into a cold swimming pool or whatever it is, you know.
Are you Nordic cycling? Are you doing the Nordic cycle?
I do a little bit of that. I like it, but it's not like I live and die by it. I'm not a Wim Hof over here.
We know Mego's notoriously not very well hydrated because she's sucking down sodas, so she couldn't hang 45 minutes in a sauna. There's no way.
No, Most people at first, if they can make it 30, they're a real savage. But, you know, like you try to build up to it.
Okay. So, look, I like the chit-chat on the sauna. How do you feel about the 30-point loss the other night? Any reason? Your former teammate Paul Pierce says no reason to be concerned. Another former teammate, Perk, says reason to be concerned. Where do you come down on that one?
Well, we're not listening to Perk nowadays. Did you guys see that thing where he was killing our bench and showing Sam Hauser missing shots? Like, he showed the one miss. Sam was 7 for 8, and he showed the one miss that he missed. Yeah, and Peyton Pritchard has been, like, a low turnover guy. But when you watch the highlight, it's one turnover Peyton Pritchard has, and he was killing our bench. So I'm off Perk and his hot takes. Nonetheless, I'm not concerned because it feels like, and I think this happens in March, you know, when you have all these games, it does feel like, we're trying to coast to the finish line. I think, like, how much energy do you want to expend in each particular game? And that was one of the worst. It was actually worse than the Cleveland game, the way that we coasted. But I don't think we're going to coast to the finish of a playoff game. So I don't think that could happen. So the one thing I will say, in my experience, and I've been on good teams that had moments like that, and the ones that usually get you through is a star player. The star player just says, enough is enough already. Let me get the ball the next five possessions. And Jalen and Jason just pass to each other, and they score 40 apiece, and we move on with our lives. But for whatever reason, our team doesn't necessarily do that when stuff starts to go sideways.
Did you feel like, I mean, this might be going counter to the spirit of that idea. There, we were just talking about, like, the end of that game, it did seem like there were points where the pace of the offense really slowed down. And it was Tatum holding on to the ball for a long time, Brown holding on to the ball for a long time, but I think much more noticeable with Jason Tatum. Why is that something that they can't seem to get out of their system? You know, less so than in years past, like with Ime Udoka's version of this team. But why is that something that they still revert to at times?
So I don't know. I do know that you remember the Cleveland game and then the Denver game. The next time we had Phoenix, and, you know, we had an 8-point lead. So maybe it's different when you have 8-point lead and down by 3 or whatever, however they handle it. I have no idea what they're thinking at the time. But like, Joe got us organized in that Phoenix game. And I mean, just so we could only base it off the Atlanta game at this point. It did feel a little bit like you guys kind of got us into this mess. You guys got to get us out of this mess. Which you may or may not agree with at the time. I kind of agreed with him trying to, like, allow the guys to figure it out on their own, but that, obviously it didn't work. We got the loss. But I thought we were really organized in the Phoenix Suns game down the stretch, and we executed, but we haven't had somewhat of a close game since that point. And now all of a sudden it's the Atlanta Hawks weird G League slash starting team. And, you know, we're doing the same thing we did before. So, you know, could that be an issue in the playoffs? Yeah. I mean, I think we'd all be crazy to think, like, we see this a lot happening. And, you know, Tatum took 19 dribbles before the Cavs shot. Brown took 23 dribbles before his shot. And we're like, what are we doing right now? I think there's some organization that probably needs to happen. But it's so few and far between, and it's so random where we're playing these random teams and these random matchups where, like, some of these guys are on 10 days that are out there. And it doesn't seem like it's the same thing as, like, the execution and attention to detail that it would take when we're playing a playoff team that, you know, like, where you have to win this game to move on. And remember, we blew a few of those with Ime Udoka as well. Like, it wasn't always crystal clear. Like, I got to remind you about the Miami game 7, and we got outscored, I think, 13-2 or 15-2 down the stretch of that. That did not look good either with Ime Udoka. And I loved him as a coach, but let's not pretend that we didn't have those issues before.
Scal, I have a question about the broadcast team over at NBC Sports Boston.
Uh-oh.
Is everything,
what does that mean?
Is everything okay between Drew Carter and Eddie House? Because Friday night, it seemed like things were not okay. Carter made some joke about Eddie House's Zoom background, and House wanted to tear his head off right there. And you had to get in between them. I know you weren't in the same room, but you had to get in between them. Is everything okay between them now? Has that all been sorted out?
You can't handle the truth.
Those guys are going to work the next Atlanta game, so I think they're going to be good. Like, those long road trips are going to start splitting us up. So Eddie will handle Thursday's game, and he'll handle the New Orleans game, and then I'll go back and do the Charlotte game. So I think they're good. But listen, I don't know if you guys have kids. I have no idea if you have kids that are playing high-level sports, low-level sports. I have no idea. But it's like, Eddie House is clearly passionate about his son, who had probably one of his worst games in college, and he just lost in the NCAA tournament. So that's not the day to have a joke with a guy. And I was just explaining, listen, Drew is 26 years old and he doesn't have children. So it's just my responsibility to try to explain, like, that is not the day that you want to make a joke about Eddie's Zoom background. I mean, but it's fine. Like, it's like, everyone is live and learn. And if you don't have kids that play sports, it's hard to understand it. It just really is. And this is not AAU for him. This is the NCAA tournament where his kid is going to now try out for the NBA. So there's a lot at stake. So I was just trying to explain to him, like, this is not the day that you do this.
So did Eddie take it as a shot at New Mexico? Because I didn't think that's what Drew was saying, but I was very far away just watching on TV. Is that how Eddie took it?
Well, why was he had a blurred background for a Zoom? Because he was on the road supporting his kid and didn't have his normal background. So you have to understand the context of that. Like, Eddie's just not going to pick a random background. He had to pick that because he was in the hotel. He picked that. Now, if his son won the game, he would have said, like, I'm here supporting my son and all that stuff. So you have to kind of understand, like, the situation at hand. That's it. It's nothing big or any problems or anything like that. I just think, you know, it's like you have to, like, unless you have kids, you don't know. If your kids play sports or high school sports, right? Like, it's just, you don't know until you know. And I'm just trying to inform Drew. Just like Drew's 26 years old, there's things that he does that I don't know. And it's like, you know, like, I don't, like, get all the jokes that I can and cannot say. So we're all learning how it is.
Yeah. I mean, look, both Ryan and I had New Mexico money line, and I didn't find Drew's jokes very funny either. I'm with Eddie on this. Yeah, same. I'm Team Eddie on this one. So when it comes to the tournament, do you have time to watch it? Like, I know you're a basketball guy.
Nah.
You don't have any time, so you can't drink it and you can't watch it. How much are you reliving your March moments this time of year?
Zero. I don't like, so when you're an NBA guy, like, you guys know, I like spacing, timing, execution. I like good plays. There's a lot of good things that I try to describe on the broadcast. Like, I can't watch something like that, especially when, like, they're supposed to be the next level of player and, like, the ones going to college. So no, I don't enjoy it. I probably will moving forward from the Sweet 16 on, but I mean, it's to me, it's a lot of bad basketball. Like, I won't also watch Charlotte versus Washington.
So many missed jumpers in college basketball. It's just missed jumper after
brutal.
Missed jumper. Open missed jumpers.
It's
yeah.
brutal.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Five guys crashing the board and then they give up a dunk and everyone thinks they're playing hard and I think they're playing dumb. So, like, hey, it's just to each his own. I love how people say, college players play so hard? Yeah, because their brains are going 100 miles an hour and they can't keep up. So the game is too fast for them.
Okay, respectfully, don't you go watch like prep school games around Massachusetts?
I do.
So
I do.
You say that's higher level basketball than what we're seeing in the NCAA? Yeah.
Well, like not the same, because it's like, how do you say this? Like there's a different level, and I'm not watching bad teams. You understand that, right? Like, when I went to go watch Cooper Flagg and Mount Verd, Mount Verd is beating some of those teams. And I, you know, when I was watching St. Sebs a year ago when they had A.J. DeBansta and Trevor
Mullen.
That's
what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, no, I watched those games and I was like, I had relationships with those guys. So I'm in the gym with those guys. You understand?
Okay.
Like today, I'm going through a practice. I'm going to build relationships with my players. With my players, I'm going to root for my guys. I have no relationships with anybody that are playing that's playing in college basketball at that point. You understand the difference?
Yes, I get it.
Okay.
Where's AJ DePansta going? Where's he going? Did I say that right? Isn't he like the top guy in the country?
For the following year.
Is he going to reclassify? He could reclassify and get in the same class as Flagg, right?
No, he already moved up. Cooper moved up as well. So they're both tops in their class.
I see.
But I know where he's not going. He ain't going to the G League at night.
That's true. Well, that should help the made jump shots in college basketball.
You can go to the Big Three. They're throwing money around now.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that? Yeah. Huh? That's amazing. $5 million for Caitlin Clark.
You think she should do it? You played in the Big Three. You think she should do it?
I mean, it's hard to turn down $5 million for a 10-week season in the summer when you can also play. I don't know. I mean, like, if you're innovative and you want to try it, why not? I don't know how that would go, though. You know, like, I think people have a hard time understanding the size thing. Like, when we look at a tiny guard, that's Caitlin Clark. You know what I mean by that? Like, she's a big guard. But when you find a 6'1 guy, you wonder, can you play professional at 6'1? It's kind of tough. But I'm all for it. Like, she's amazing. I love watching it. I would extend that offer to Juju Watkins as well, who probably has a better body to play in the Big Three, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, this is something we're going to talk about coming up in Triple Play. Happy to get your answer on that. Scal, we appreciate the time.
Rashard Lewis, better watch out.
Yeah.
Here comes Caitlin.
Yeah, seriously. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. See you.
All right, Brian Scalabrine is all our guest. Joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Perhaps more info than we've ever gotten out of Brian Scalabrine ever. Hates college basketball.
That makes me so happy.
Loves St. Sebs.
Loves New England prep basketball, but it's high level basketball.
Yes. Well, I understand. Like, I wanted that explation. He has personal relationships with these kids.
I think you got him.
So he has a stake in the game.
Quite frankly, I think you got him.
Performances.
You got him. It's like, hey, you don't like college basketball, but you like prep basketball. Like, I get these good
he
players are reclassifying.
Prep school basketball.
But that feels inconsistent. You got him. But when it comes to the Big Three. We'll get to Caitlin Clark because that's an interesting topic. It's one of our questions in Triple Play. If you missed any of Scal, by the way, it's up now on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Use the rewind feature to see, as the Twitch chat put it, have Mego put Scal in a body bag. And we have Triple Play next.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI.
It's going to be a Triple Play.
It's time for the Triple Play.
Yes! Triple Play.
Top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples is best. Triples makes it safe. And it is Wednesday, Jones and Mego. That makes it a wild card Wednesday. So let's cut those break lines and get to our first wild card question.
Number one.
Mego, we'll start with you. What was the best Patriots draft of the Bill Belichick era? What was the best one single draft of the era?
Oh, I thought you were talking about a draft pick.
I would have said
Dang.
That. If I
had... Oh, the draft class.
Okay, well, then I'll go with 2010 still. That's Gronk's, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
McCourty. I feel like they did a good job of illustrating that in the Dynasty. Out of all the things that they kind of, you know, breezed past, that draft was really important for reestablishing the second chapter of the Dynasty.
Oh.
And if they didn't hit on those guys, being both the incredible talents that you have in Gronk, but also a personality and talent that you have in McCourty, like that... I don't see how you pick another one.
Hello?
Hello.
Who else was in that? It was Hernandez, but was that was Brandon Spikes, right? That was all that draft.
Taylor Price, Zoltan Mesko, Brandon Dedrick, who played a couple years for him.
Seventh round. 2010 is probably the right answer because you have real high impact talent. But let me give you one that I like. I always like the 2003 draft. I always like that draft. That was Ty Warren early on. You got Eugene Wilson. You got Bethel Johnson, who contributed on the 03 team as a kick returner. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like a big impact on kick returns. Not a good receiver, not a good career. But for that year, you got a lot. You had Asante Samuel in that draft. You had guys like Klecko in that draft, Dan Copen in that draft. That was a...
Bantikane in the seventh, he played.
It was like a borderline top to bottom, 1 through 7. They almost all contributed, and they almost all contributed right away. Now, it does not have the Hall of Fame hit that you have with Gronk. There probably isn't even a player as good as McCourty in that draft, right? So 2010 had more high-end hits, but the 2003...
Samuel?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Probably. That's a good point. He's been all pro. 2003, it hit, and it hit right away on a team that immediately turned it around from missing the playoffs to going 14-2 and basically not losing after Mego's Commanders there in week 4. I always have a soft spot for that draft. I think that was a good top-to-bottom draft. So give me 2003.
All right, let's get to our second wild card question.
Arcane, you didn't have an answer?
Mine would have been, you took mine, but I think the one you didn't mention, I like 2012 with Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower.
That was a good draft, too.
Top-heavy draft, but also in the spirit of what you were just talking about, Jones, 2005, almost every single one of those picks ended up playing or starting. Logan Mankins, Ellis Hobbs, James Sanders, Matt Cassel, Nick Kagger, all those guys. So, you know, there was she asked me, Brian. So I'm giving my answer.
But the difference is, though, right, in 2010 and 2005, those teams didn't go on to do anything. 2003, they won right away, yes, and those rookies were all very impactful.
They certainly did. All right, wild card question number 2. Jones, we'll start with you. We just talked about this. Caitlin Clark offered $5 million to go to Ice Cube's Big 3. Should she take it?
1,000%. Of course she should. Why would she not? Like, when I first read this question, I wasn't familiar with the story. I'm like, does this mean she can't play in the WNBA?
I didn't know that either when I wrote the question.
Does it preclude her from playing in the WNBA? Then maybe I would get it. I'd still tell her go get that money in the Big 3. Get $5 million in the Big 3 and just call it a day.
Half-court pickup games.
I would still tell her to do it.
45-year-olds.
But she can do both. This just means she can do both. Why wouldn't she do it? The risk of injury? $5 million. Like, people would look at it and think it's not real basketball. People already look at the WNBA and think that. So honestly, she should absolutely, no questions asked, go play in the Big 3, play 10 games, make $5 million, use that money, and then go play in the WNBA as well.
I agree. I also think, as Arcam points out, like, a lot of guys playing in that are kind of washed, if not totally washed. So it could be a cool, like, little battle of the sexes moment, like Billie Jean King, like her going in there, top of her game. Yeah, she's undersized. She's a woman. She's a little lady playing basketball in the 3v3 tournament.
I mean,
but
she's no Juju Watkins, according to Scout.
I know. I was like, okay, that's someone you've been eyeing, I guess. Not in a bad way, but I like it for her. Beyond the cash, I think it's like a cool way to further highlight the women's game, and I really like the momentum that the women's game has been having. It doesn't take away from the WNBA. It's just another platform for her to highlight herself.
Yeah, it would bring eyeballs to the WNBA, which I think she'll already do, to be honest.
I think it'd bring eyeballs to the Big 3.
Well, 100%. Yeah. That's why they're paying $5 million. But it's an interesting point by Scal. She's 6 foot. So, like, what is she?
I'm taller than her.
No, right. So, like, I mean, she's really...
Oh, congratulations, Arcan.
She's really skilled, but, like, and look, reference, guys that are 6 feet can play. I'm not saying she can't play, but just if you're 6 feet, there are going to be questions about you, male or female, and it's not like she's bringing a lot of size to the table. It's
like,
a fair point.
Do you wear heels? When do you decide to?
I mean, Isaiah, you know, like, I loved Isaiah. Isaiah was under 6 feet. But, like, if size is going to be a question, how's that going to translate? We can find out if she takes the $5 million. She should.
All right, let's get to our third wild card question.
Number 3.
All right, this is a couple days old now, but, Mego, do you believe Shohei Ohtani? Why or why not?
No. No, come on.
Why not?
Is there anything that has come out that should, like, sway my opinion that I held on the day when the story first changed?
Rob Bradford said he believes him.
Rob Bradford does?
He said that. Yeah, while you guys were locked out of your microphones.
Don't blame us for that.
One, two, three, four, five, McFarlane.
Carrabas believes him. Does that help? Does that help you get swayed at all?
Weird how the people who have a real stake in baseball not being completely ruined.
I'm sorry. It just doesn't, believe him. None of it makes sense to me. Do we need to run through it again? Like, no, I don't believe him. I don't believe that this bookie is getting so much leeway to place $4.5 million of bets when he makes 300 something a year. Like,
Thank you.
None of it makes sense.
Let me tell you,
The gap between the story changing is totally illogical, and I haven't heard a single explanation as to why Shohei Ohtani's people would just straight up lie and then change it and be like, oh, no, actually, the interpreter wasn't telling the truth.
Tomasi had a great column about this. You know, it was – this is Brian McNamee. This is Cousin Yuri. Mm. This is the deflator and Dorito dink.
Ty Law's cousin.
Exactly. This is a low-level fall guy. We know these all too well in sports.
I need to know who's going to be the fall guy.
And that's what this guy is. And so, no, hell no, I don't believe him. And I don't care what they say. I don't care how they explain it away. Just use your brain. How did this guy rack up that level of gambling debts? How did Shohei Ohtani has not made that much money in his career. He has a $700 million contract. Most of it's deferred. He has not made that. He has not made the kind of money where you don't notice a $500,000 is missing. He has not made that kind of money.
No, he hasn't.
You're making a weird face back there.
I mean, off the field, like baseball,
okay,
whatever.
Fair.
Off the field, his endorsements are crazy.
Good point. In terms of salary, he has not made that kind of money.
But
we don't know what he's making in endorsements.
You would think he is employing people that would look into like what you're spending and making sure, like, all right, you're not going, you know, beyond your means or anything like that. No, by the way, what's this $4.5 million discrepancy in your bank account?
One would think.
Like, if he's not doing it, he has people that are doing that for him.
But, like, hasn't this story pretty much already died? Hasn't this already gone the way baseball wants it to? It's like, whatever. No one cares anymore.
Baseball's starting up, and MLB, the show's coming out. And you can carve your own way.
We're on the basketball betting scandals now. It's like we're just on to the next thing.
Never heard of them.
This worked out for baseball. This is exactly how they want to play it.
It did. However, Homeland Security and the IRS are investigating the interpreter now. So if they discover something, we'll see.
Want to investigate the interpreter? Do you want to see him suck a couple dingers?
Who else are they investigating?
Yeah, they're a little preoccupied these days.
A lot of investigations.
But so, look, this went the way I thought it would. Baseball's going to bury it. And I think it's a huge story. I think absolutely Ohtani was betting
baseball
on baseball.
Baseball isn't buried.
If you ask me that, new podcast idea. If you ask me my feelings on it, I think he was betting on baseball. I don't know that, but that's what it seems like to me. But baseball got its way. It's already buried. 617-779-7937.
ESPN's like, can you believe Michael Porter's brother is gambling on basketball?
That's true. Just another low-level fall guy.
What about
that is.
Shohei? I can't believe he's betting on basketball. Like, hello? Are we done? Okay, I guess we're done.
So that's Triple Play. We'll get back to the Patriots, which is where we started the show earlier today. Some thoughts on their messaging problem. And if they're trading back, what are they actually doing? That's next.
You're listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.